Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, March 31st, 2014, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Welcome. I am glad you could tune in today. I like the sound of tuning in, and yes, that is a play on words. Tune in, tune in, tune in. I'm not just talking about this show. It's so important to tune in. I always say keep your feelers up and out. And what do I mean by that? I just mean looking and listening and learning about stuff going on all around you. You know, I really believe it's absolutely surprising. I know it is, at what you get to see when you tune in. When you really tune in, you see and hear things sometimes differently than before. Sometimes there's a greater appreciation, too, for things we didn't notice so much before. So keep your tuner up and out today. I just know that by day's end, you will have seen or heard something that will truly delight you. I believe that. Well, you know what delights me? Okay, I'm glad you asked. A great story. I love hearing stories of great faith and victory, and that's just what I've got for us today, one man's story of victory. His name is David Tuckerow Jr., and David is bad to the bone. You know, we say that, but I'm telling you, he really is. And today, he is going to share his story of winning his battle against leukemia. And I want to say right now, welcome to you, David. Thank you so much for joining me on my Foxology stage today.
Hello. Thank you so very much for having me on your show. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share my story with you and your audience. Thank you.
Okay. Well, it's certainly my pleasure as well. Looking forward to talking to you about this. I have been doing a series on staying in the ring, and of course to inspire, to enlighten, to educate people in various areas of the of getting through things in life, because if we have the right attitude, if we stay in the ring, we really can do that. And so your story is definitely a testimony to what it means to do that and to win. And so we're going to talk about that today. Why don't you begin by telling us, you have a newly released book that's called Bad to the Bone, or it's in about to be released. Tell us about that, and then we're going to backtrack, David.
All right. Bad to the Bone was released actually in November, and it's been out for a few months now. And it talks about me kind of going back to my youth, and, you know, it kind of talks about, you know, children not telling their parents everything, or parents just choosing not to recognize what's going on with the child. And for me, it caused a lot of inadequacies because for my dad, he had set the bar really high for himself. And for me, I had mistaken what he had done for what I needed to do. And, you know, that just, I wasn't, you know, getting to where I needed to be because I wasn't obtaining my own goals. So really it's about being able to recognize and obtain your own goals and not mistake them for anybody else's is one part of it.
Okay, well, that sounds interesting. When you say that, and I think what you just described, David, happens to lots of people, you aspire to do something and then parents, as we often do, I'm in that category too, and probably in that category too where you hope for other things and what happened,
yeah.
But you have to choose your own course because we're all given certain gifts and talents, but we mean well, David. We mean well, but you're suggesting that your parents may have had a different idea about what should happen and what happened, and the focus of the book is to bring light to the fact that when you find your own purpose and passion, that's really what works out best.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I know that there's also more to it than that, and let's talk about how you have come through one of the biggest trials of your life, biggest fights, by winning your battle with leukemia. You were diagnosed at what age?
Diagnosed at the age of 25.
Okay. And when that happened, what were the signals, the signs that sent you an alert and then had you going to see a physician about it?
Well, some of the symptoms early on were, that of really bad flu. I had extreme nausea, extreme vomiting, hemorrhaging, and fatigue. I would lie down on the couch and couldn't get up any energy to, say get a glass of water, it was really bad. And I would also see white dots and black floaties in my vision, and towards the end there, they were just getting really bad to where I could only see the white dots and black floaties in my vision. And, I would get up and walk around for, say, 5 minutes and have to rest for about 3 or 4 hours just to get enough energy to walk around for another 5 more minutes, It got really, really bad really quick. And, I did go to see a physician once, but, this is when I was hemorrhaging, and I didn't know what was going on, so we both kind of attributed it to ulcers. And, we started doing a regimen to cure the ulcers when that wasn't even the case at all. And throughout all this, my father had continuously said, David, you need to get your blood work done. David, you need to get your blood work done. And I didn't do that. And it wasn't until, Christmas Eve, that I was brought in to the hospital, and that's when, I had a series of blood tests done, and each time the blood test got progressively worse each time, and the third time is when the doctor had come in at about 2:30 in the morning on Christmas Eve and said, your white cells are this, your T cells are this, your hemoglobin is this, blah, 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 leukemia, blah, 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 blah. And I just remember thinking to myself, I know what leukemia is, but I just remember when I heard that, I just remember thinking, what's leukemia, if that makes any sense? I knew what it was, but I didn't know what it was.
So up until that time, David, were you working, going to school, and how did it initially start to interrupt things? You told us about probably a more severe end of it, but Did you notice things when you were trying to go to school or work that were different than you had previously recognized?
Absolutely. For me, it was really debilitating, to where I couldn't go to work. I would call in, I'm not feeling good today, and I can't move, and I've been really this, that, and the other, nauseous or sick or, It affected
me. And so
that
you're
I
thinking at that time, I just got some really bad flu I can't shake.
Exactly. I keep thinking like I've got this flu and I can't shake it. And, my bosses are like, okay, we'll just get it checked out. And I said, we think it's ulcers, but I don't think it's ulcers. And, it progressed for a couple of weeks like that. I went for about 6 weeks, going through all these motions and not really knowing that what was really going on inside of me was cancer,
Mm-hmm. So did you feel worried at that point? Were you losing focus? Were you just thinking something, whatever it is, based on even what the doctors had told you, it's come and it's going to go? Was that kind of how you were feeling?
Yeah, you know, and all, I guess also maybe subconsciously I was thinking, you know, there's something really worse going on. And I don't know, something was just telling me not to go to the doctor because I was going to find out something that I didn't want to find out, you know. And I just couldn't, you know, face the realization that there's something more going on than just a severe flu. And I, you know, really, you know, I think I did it to myself where I just let it progress to the very far bitter end, you know, to where it was almost too late to, you know, to help me.
Well, that's probably one of the greater messages and what we want to get across today, David. And I'm glad that you said that because men, and you know, I love that book, that Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, just because I like to joke about it.
Yeah,
but we don't typically do that. We get a little ache or something. We may wait, you know, a few days to see if we can, get better. But men will typically, and I don't know if it's just your sense of dominance
right.
over things that you think that, oh, you know, I can conquer it in some point I really will. But I think a great message has come out. And it's not being said, it's not that it hasn't been said before, but men, please, when you see and feel symptoms that you know are totally not like anything that you've experienced before, go and have it checked out. So because of that, David, it sounds like you were at a real critical end of this diagnosis, and they were able to intervene on time. So what happened after you got the diagnosis and you're trying to process and you heard leukemia being thrown in that conversation to you, what happened then?
You know what? It was, oh, man, it was a very surreal moment, you know. I mean, like I said, you know, when they told me what leukemia was, I didn't know what it was. And, you know, like I said, it progressed so far that you know, the doctor didn't have any hope for me. You know, before I got through the front door, they gave me a hip biopsy to see, I guess, how far progressed I was in this disease. And the doctor, you know, he was baffled. He told my mom, you know, four times, your son's not going to make it, your son's not going to make it, your son's not going to make it, your son's not going to make it. Whether it was through the morning, through the day, or through the night, he kept telling my mom this. So, and I overheard it, so I'm just thinking, when am I going to expire, you know? When is this going to kick in? When do I die, you know? Because I'm ready, I guess, you know? I mean, I can't be more ready than
wow.
this, you know? So when is it going to happen? And then I guess that, you know, quick, you know, acceptance of death turned into anger because I hadn't passed, and this guy is saying that I'm going to die, and I'm not dead, and I just got really angry. And I guess kind of, you know, fueled me to fight for my life and to just not take a day for granted anymore and to just, you know, look at this whole grand picture as a day-to-day thing because I couldn't look any further than a day because I didn't know if I was guaranteed the next. Nobody's guaranteed the next. So I just took everything in stride and did the best I could to overcome, you know, my treatments little by little, day by day, hour by hour, session by session.
Well, it sounds like that anger stirred up some good adrenaline in you.
Oh, yes. Absolutely, it did.
That turned out to be a real good thing. So it kicked you in gear, basically, even though you're still very sick at that time. So when you decided, okay, I'm not dying, I'm going to live, what were the steps that you started to take in that direction? Of course, much of it was strategic, I'm sure. What was the therapy like for that? What did they do?
It really was, you know, for me, doing a mind over matter thing. I had a couple of, you know, things that happened, that keyword phrases that people said to me that got me through it. You know, when I was diagnosed on Christmas Eve, that evening my friend had come to see me in the hospital, and he says, you know, David, man, you got to power through this. And I was like, I do. I need to power through this. And power through it became my mantra through this. You know, I would always just say, I got to power through it, power through it, power through it. And the other one was when the nurse, you know, when I started getting chemo, one of the nurses had said, just imagine good cells attacking bad cells, you know, and it sounded really cliche to me. Like, I gave her the raised eyebrow look, like, really? But honestly, it worked for me, you know. It was, as cheesy as it was, it worked for me. And it was, you know, that, and then it was just talking with God and just being like, come on, God, you know, I know what you're doing here, and I know that there's going to be a good outcome. Just, you know, make it easier for my family because I don't want to see them suffer. Really, it was what it was for me.
Wow. So, David, when your parents were told that you were going to die, that you wouldn't make it, what was that like? I'm sure they were they feeling as filled with fortitude and faith as you, or had everybody just kind of resolved in those initial days that I think we're going to be planning a funeral?
They were ready to plan a funeral. You know, nobody thought I was going to make it. And, you know, given what the doctors had said and what my diagnosis was, you know, everybody had all the reason in the world to, you know, be certain that they were going to be ready for a funeral. And I knew inside of me that I was going to get through it, and it just hurt me to see them hurting and making these potential plans for, you know, burying me. It was really hard for me to see my family going through that.
Yes, I'm sure. So when you began the actual therapies to treat leukemia, I know one of those you are a strong advocate for at this point, and that is the bone marrow treatment donations. And why don't you explain how that fits in the whole scheme of things and your ultimate healing?
Well, the bone marrow transplant was just like any other blood transfusion, you know. It's just they hang it and it goes into you. And, the first half felt like that, but the second half of that, it was very surreal for me. I just remember my hearing getting really, really, really intense, and the ringing just got really loud. I remember my vision got really blurred to where I couldn't see anything, and it being really intense. And also I remember having to get like 16 or 17 hot blankets on me because I was just getting so cold. But the whole time I just, you know, while I was coherent, I just knew that new life was going into me and I was being given a gift of life.
So did the initial treatment for the leukemia start with the need for the bone marrow transplant, or were there other therapies prior to that to get to that? I want to try to paint a picture of what went through.
You know, I mean, before the bone marrow transplant, there was just, you know, chemo. I did a round of chemo, and the doctors had said it wasn't strong enough, so they had to put me in another round of chemo that was the strongest. As far as I know, it was the strongest possible chemo that I could get is what they put me on. And then they put me on radiation and, you know, several other medications. One, methotrexate, for instance, it for me was like pouring pure acid down my throat. You know, I had to wear an ice necklace for about 10 days because it was just the swelling in my throat was just so bad. And, you know, they had to do every possible, you know, treatment to try and better this before, you know, the last possible, you know, situation, which was getting the bone marrow transplant. So I had to go through all the treatments prior to getting that done.
How long did that take?
About a month and a half, 2 months. And it took about 2 months before they finally said I needed a bone marrow transplant. And then it took about, I think it was about 4 or 6 weeks after is when I got the bone marrow transplant done.
Can you tell us what it's like to undergo the actual search for a transplant, finding a donor in your case?
First off, the doctors will look to the provincial. Well, for me, they look to the provincial bone marrow registry, to the Canadian bone marrow registry. And when there was nothing there, they had to go to the world bone marrow registry. And at that point, it's just a matter of hoping that somebody in another country has registered and has the same blood as you. So, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, do that for my mission now, is to be that person, you know, in the random country that can be able to help somebody, you know, whether it's a family member, a friend, or complete stranger. You know, I'm trying to get that set up now through my bone marrow donation on my webpage.
David, is the search for a bone marrow donor difficult because of the limited amount of people who register? Is that the reason? Do you feel that the success rate for finding a donor would be increased due to the number of increased registrants, or is it some other reason that it's a difficult process?
No, I mean, sometimes it's a simple process. It just really, it depends on your blood type and your genetic DNA, you know. It just depends. I mean, there's enough marrow out there, I'm sure, but there could always be more, one. And two, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of, because for me, it was a genetic DNA match. So for me, it was a complete, it was fluke that I, you know, was able to find a match. And that's, you know, like I said, the reason that I'm setting up what I'm doing is to set up more of these, and I quote, fluke-like scenarios where, you know, you're able to get a bone marrow donor, because it's sometimes, you know, people are very receptive and can receive any, but some people are a bit more trickier and they can only receive a certain kind, you know, from a certain person. And so it's just a matter of finding that certain person to be able to donate.
Okay. Well, let's backtrack again to the bone marrow process that you were in and you were receiving your actual transplants. How often did you have to do that, and point, did they determine that you were healthy, diagnosed as healthy again?
I guess diagnosed as healthy after my bone marrow took. But like I said, leading up to that, it's a finicky thing, you know. I don't really know how I was chosen or how I was picked and how my marrow was picked for me. It's really what the doctors, it's all a matter of what they do, and I don't really know that process. But, you know, when I got mine, it was, for me, it was a fluke, you know, like I said, like, there was all the reason in the world that I shouldn't have gotten this, but something out there, it just happened that I did get it, and it saved my life.
How long was the procedure for the bone marrow transplants themselves? Did you have to undergo that more than once?
No, just one time only, and it was just like a, you know, like I said, like getting a blood transfusion. It took about, I think about 3-4 hours. You know, they have to do it over a slow period of time. But it took about 3 or 4 hours, and it was just a one-time thing.
And then at what point, after all of those therapies, the chemo, the bone marrow transplant, tell us about the follow-up for that, because I'm sure you are still somewhat on that journey. But tell us about the follow-up, and then I'm sure getting the best news that you had won.
Yeah. I mean, the follow-up for that was, it was, you know, just maintenance, you know, everyday maintenance. But you know, when I was told that I was in remission, you know, that was the celebration for me. And that's, you know, came on May 3rd, 2007. So for me, every May 3rd now, I celebrate a new year of life. And for me, it's almost like having a new birthday, you know. I celebrate May 3rd now, because that's, you know, the day I was given my second life.
That's really awesome. And that second life has catapulted you into a different future. So your dad had one idea at one time, you had one idea at one time, and now God has another idea for you.
Exactly. Just when you think you got to figure it out, you know, he throws a nice little wrench in there and kind of switches it up for you.
Well, thank goodness he's good at tuning up those things. So tell
Absolutely.
Us about what you're doing now to help inspire others. I know there's a kind of multi-layered approach you're taking to it. So tell us about what you're doing, and you can start again by telling us about the book.
Well, first off, my book, Bad to the Bone, is really kind of survivor's point of view, like what it is I went through, you know. So there's a lot of power in that for a lot of different people, you know. And it's available on Amazon, Kobo, BarnesandNoble.com, and iTunes. And, you know, the process of writing this book was just such an incredible thing, you know. I can't stress, you know, to everybody out there, writing is just such a powerful tool. You know, pen to paper, you can get so much anger and hurt and just ill feelings out of you by just writing them out. So I really, just to everybody, I can't stress how writing has really been so beneficial to me and how beneficial it can be for you. And just the book itself, you know, is just such an amazing thing for me to do. And, you know, the website is, you know, another tool that I set up to get bone marrow donors. There's a link on my page to become a bone marrow donor, which gives you all the information you need to become a bone marrow donor. And it's as simple as doing a cheek swab. So if you swab your cheeks, you send it back to them. They'll run your DNA, and if you're a match for somebody, they'll let you know. And from there, you know, it's a simple process. It's a very painless process to become a bone marrow donor. It's like a blood transfusion in one arm, and your blood will go into a machine, and your blood and platelets will go back into you, and the machine will hold your bone marrow and then give that to the recipient. And it's such a very easy process and painless process. I can't stress that
enough. We definitely want people to be inspired and to be encouraged to do that, because you again, are such a great testimony of how important it is, and just a few minutes out of our life can save somebody else's. David, I want to thank you so much for sharing so many intimate details of what you went through. And I know that, as I said to you earlier, that even if one person is inspired to go and donate, even if one person is encouraged to be stronger through their fight of a similar trial, then we did our job today. We're bad to the bone.
Yes, absolutely.
Give out your website, if you would, and spell it out for me.
All right. It's www.davidtuckaro.com, TUCCARO.com.
Okay, great. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Thank you again for your time. And I want to thank all of you as well for taking the time out to tune in. And as I said, tuning is important, as you can tell from what you have heard in this interview. A lot of important stuff. Want to encourage you to stay in the ring, because you can be down and not out. You can be at a point where somebody says it's all overdone. Well, David's story certainly tells us that not have to be your truth. Get up, stand up, fight back, stay in the ring. Thanks so much for listening today. I'll have another show for you on this coming Thursday. My guest is going to tell you what the challenges are when you're in corporate America and you are a true success, but it still takes some fighting. Still takes some staying in the ring. That's a show you really don't want to miss. You all have a great day. I look forward to talking to you next time. Thanks so much.